great. How many are ready for a new you? Anybody here want a new you? How many like the old you? How many said the old me needs a little bit of improvement? Anybody? All right. How many are ready for a new you? Anybody? All right. Today, we are continuing our series, A New You. We are discovering that, as we've been talking about the last few weeks, that God has a lot of new things he wants for his children. The scripture is full of the teaching that God has new things for us. We are a new creation. We are to put on the new nature that God has for us. That there is a new covenant given to us. There is a new heart, a new mind. There is a new day. The Bible is full. Paul was very creative and descriptive when he used the word new throughout his teachings and writings. Teach us this relationship with God is a new thing. Jesus said it's a new wine that God pours into new wineskins that he wants to do in our life. The psalmist David in the Old Testament, he said it's a new song that God wants to place in our hearts. So this word new is found throughout Scripture, but for way too long, many of us have been stuck living in the old. And so we are refocusing this year saying, I want God to do something new in us and in me. And so we're looking at this word new. Now last week, we started a challenge on Monday, the 21-day challenge, where we are picking a fast that will challenge us. We're reading Scripture. We're spending time listening to worship or Christian music, just refocusing our life back on saying, God, we're putting our focus back. God, help us to stop crowding you out of our schedule and help us to reposition ourselves where you are involved in every area of our life. If we kind of do a self-check and say, God, what idols have I put above you? What things have become idols in my life where they have replaced the time I need with you? And so we are redoing this. Now, how many today will say, Pastor, I started the 21-day challenge, but I had a slip-up this week. I kind of blew it. Anybody here when I mentioned you blew it? Anywhere? Okay, that's fine. You guys did a lot better than the first service. We had a lot of people in the first service who blew it. Don't tell them I told you. Okay, you know, we had a lot of them in the first service who blew it, and that's okay, okay? Not that it's okay, but what I'm telling you is this. Don't let that stop you, okay? Don't say, well, I blew it in day three, and so I guess I'm out. No, no, no. That's the wrong mentality. If you blew it, get up. Come on. They'll say, well, I had a crouton in my salad, and I wasn't going to have any bread. Oh, God, help me. You know, God doesn't like me. I'm so... No, take... You're missing the focus, okay? If you are that strict about yourself, you're missing the focus. Get back on it, okay? If you blew it, get back up. Join us in this journey. It's important that the majority comes together and we refocus. When the majority comes back and says, your kingdom first, God, not my will, but yours be done. Things begin to happen. Spiritual awakening begins to happen when we see the majority coming together. So I invite you, if you have fallen off your fast this week, get back on it, okay? Join us. Let's finish out these next 2 weeks strong. Now today, I want to talk to you about the thought, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? There's something that I believe in the heart of every believer and every person in this room, the one thing that we have to begin to look at and admit is this, that what stands between us, between you and the new you is fear. What stands between you, where you're at now, and the new you that God has for you is simply fear. I believe fear is controlling us way too much, and we're allowing fear to stop us from taking steps of action that God can use to change in our life. And we let fear cripple us. We let fear paralyze us from taking those steps of obedience that God wants us to do in our life. And we all face it. I have to learn to deal with it. You have to learn to deal with it. So how do we do this today? We're going to look at a man by the name of Moses, one of the most popular figures in the Old Testament. And you guys, you've heard of Moses. You know who Moses is. You remember as a young baby, Pharaoh put out a decree that he was going to kill. He was going to kill all the Jews. He was going to kill them all, and he was going to take them. And the slaves were outnumbering. They were starting to grow. And he was doing the math and realizing at the pace of a birth, all these slaves that we have, they're giving birth so quickly that if we don't do something to kind of curb the population here, they're going to overthrow us. And so he just said, hey, I got a plan. Let's just execute all the young boys. to help kind of curb this population growth that we see happening in the future. And so Moses' mom, being a wise woman, she took Moses and hid him. And she made a basket for him. And she waited until Pharaoh's daughter was bathing in the Nile. And she knew exactly where she'd be at what time. And she took that basket and she floated it out where she would see him. And of course, she takes the basket and she sees baby Moses in there. And her motherly instincts kick in that every woman has. And she said, "Hey, Daddy, you ain't killing this baby. This is my baby." You know, and she takes Moses, and then she says, "But I need a mom who can nurse. Is there a mother who can nurse this baby?" And she takes Moses' mom and hires her to nurse her baby, which is really her baby. Listen, when you do things to God and you do what God's got a plan, God always works it out. So here she does. Moses' life is being spared, and then she gets Moses given back to her for her to nurture, to nurse, and she begins to raise Moses. And the whole time she's raising Moses, she's there raising him and telling him, "Hey, these are not your people. This is your people. Remember, we are the people. These slaves, this is our people. This is who we are. You don't belong to Pharaoh's household, even though you're going to be raised there. And God's got a plan for you, Moses. Listen to God." And so she's telling him as such a young boy. And then as he gets old enough and he's no longer being nursed by his mom, then he moves into the palace and begins to live and be raised in Pharaoh's palace. Now we see as he becomes a young man that one day he's out. And remember, he knows who his people are, okay? And he walks out and he sees a slave master beating and whipping and beating very abusive to one of the slaves. And a rage comes upon him. The same rage that you see when you're watching one of the movies about slavery. And you see a slave master whipping somebody who shouldn't be whipped. And you're like, rage just comes upon you. I don't know about you. When I see that, I want to jump to the screen and grab that person by the neck, take that whip out of their hand and say, "Let me give it to you for a while and see how you like it." That's the kind of rage. And this is the same thing that happens with Moses. The rage overtakes him. He sees this injustice being done, someone being punished unfairly, and he steps in and his rage overtakes him and he murders the slave master. So now he knows that, man, I just murdered one of my father's workers, here, Pharaoh's workers, and now I've got to get out of here. So he runs for his life. He flees the palace. He goes out and he lives in the desert. There he meets a woman and marries and works for a father. And he's taking care of the sheep. He's out there taking care of the helping with the cattle. He's out there raising his family. And, you know, he's having children. His sons are there. And his life is good. Okay, he's out there. And then all of a sudden, God shows up to Moses, begins to speak to him out there in the middle of a burning bush. So let's pick the story up now as God begins to speak to Moses in the burning bush. Exodus 3, verses 11 and 12. But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh?" Now look what happens. Moses is protesting to God because God has just said, "Moses." First voice is, "Moses." That's the best voice I got. "Moses, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." Remember that story? And then he goes and tells him, "I've called you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." So God's telling Moses, "I want you to go back to the place you left, that you ran for your life. I want you to go back and I want you to face Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And look what Moses' response. But Moses protested to God. Does this ever sound like some of you today? You're a protest to God? "God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh?" Then he says again, "Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And God answers, "I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." Who am I? God, who am I? That's the question we ask. And God says, "Hey, I got a plan for you. I want you to do something for me." And God begins to speak to the heart of his followers and believers. That's our first response. Well, time out, God. Who am I? Who am I? And God says, I will be with you. And let's pick up the story here in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. God keeps telling Moses, "Moses, you're going to do this." And look what Moses says. And again, Moses protested. See, you're not the only one. Even Moses protested. Moses protests again. "What if they won't believe me or listen to me?" Then look what he says again. "What if they say the Lord never appeared to you?" Then the Lord asked him, "What is in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. Now, see, catch this part, because I believe this is kind of our heart. When God asks us to step out and do something, we always say, "What if?" But God, what if What if I don't make it? God, what if I fail? God, what if people don't respond? God, what if no one shows up? God, what if I do this and I don't get the job? God, what if, what if, what if? And we say what if, but look at God's response. God's response is not what if. God is what is. See, we're the what if people, and God is the what is. He's living in the now and present. He is in control. God, what if? No, God says what is. Remember when he said, who is sending me? He said, you tell him, I am, that I am is sending you. He's the God of now. He's not the God of what ifs. He's the God of now, ever present. He is with us. He is leading us. He's the ever present God. He says, look what's in your hand, a shepherd's staff. And so Moses replied, God, I can't do this, remember? And God says, all right, what's in your hand? He says, I have a staff. And God says, throw it down. And he throws down his staff and it turns into a snake. And scripture says Moses jumps back, just like you and I would have. Can you imagine? Boom, turns into a snake. And now God's like, pick it up by the tail. He's like, whoa, you pick it up by the tail. I'm standing over here. That'd have been my response, God. I'd have killed that thing. I'd have killed that thing. Get behind me, Satan. You know, I'd have done that. But God says, no, pick up the snake by the tail. He picks it up by the tail. When he does, it turns right back into a staff. God said, if they don't believe you, you lay it down. I'll do this again in front of them. Let them know I am with you. He says, stick your hand inside your cloak. And he puts his hand inside his cloak, and he says, now pull it out. He pulls it out, and his hand is white with leprosy. His hand is full of leprosy. He says, now take your hand and put it back in your cloak. Now pull it back out again. It was healed, completely gone. He goes, if they don't believe you with the staff, then put your hand back in. I'll show them I am with you. He goes, well, what if that doesn't work? What if? He goes, like, what if that doesn't work? If that doesn't work, then I'll turn the Nile into blood. You tell them I'll turn the Nile into blood, but I am with you. You see, for everything we have in our life, God is wanting to have an answer. For every no we have, God has a yes. We see this happening continually. So let's pick the story back up in verse 10 now, 10 through 13. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not. That's us, right? God, I'm not very good with words. I've never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, because I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? It is not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you what to say. But again, Moses pleaded, Lord, please send somebody else besides me. And I think that's where we fall into line, is we allow fear to stop us from God using us the way we want to. See, in every believer's life, he's wanting us to learn to conquer the fear that's in our life. He wants us to go from I'm not, to God, I am, the God of I am. He's not the God of I'm not, he's the God of I am. Every time Moses says no, God has a yes. So where are you allowing fear to say no? Where in your life, in my life, where are we allowing fear to say no? For many of us in this room, we allow fear to stop us from reaching out and getting help. I need to get help. I need to see a counselor. I need to see a doctor. I need to see a pastor. I need to see somebody. I need to reach out and admit that I need help. I can't do it on my own. There's some things I'm battling with and I need help, but I'm afraid if I ask for help that people are going to see me as weak. I'm afraid if I ask for help, people are going to think I'm not as strong as I need to be. I'm afraid if I ask for help, someone's going to tell me no. I'm afraid if I ask for help, I'm going to hear news I don't want to hear. We let fear stop us from getting the help we need in our life. We have fear. I know I need to serve. I know I need to be involved in serving a destiny at the church I go to. I need to be involved in serving. But if I go and tell one of the pastors I want to serve, they could put me in the nursery. What happened? What if? What if I'm in there and a baby throws up on me? What happens? What if they ask me to serve? What if they ask me to clean? What if? We put now all these scenarios in our head. No, God wants you to conquer your fear. He wants you to step out and say, God, I'm ready to serve. God, I'm ready for you to use me. What if, God, what if I attend a life group? What will happen then? People, I can come in and out of church. I can come in and out of church and people don't really know me. I can put on the mask and I can fake my way through a congregational service. But if I get in a small group with a couple of families, boy, then I become more transparent. What if people see that I don't really have it all together the way they think I do? What if they don't like me? Better yet, what if they do like me and they want me to open up my home? What if Pastor Palm comes to me and says, hey, we want you to lead? What if we let fear stop us? See, we got to conquer and face our fear. We got to say, God, I'm willing to step out. What if I invite my friend or my coworker or my family member who I know needs to be in church? What if I invite them? I've been wanting to invite them for a long time. God's been telling me to invite them. I've been wanting to step out and invite someone to come with me that I know needs to be here. I go to work and I'm like, God, if it's your will, then when I come into lunch break, they'll be sitting right there and there'll be a chair empty next to them. And you walk in, oh, there was someone sitting there. So I guess I didn't. I guess it's not your will, God. No, we let fear stop us. Listen, this is your year. You're stepping out. Don't let fear stop you from what God wants to do in your life. Some of you got fear of commitment. What if I commit? Well, I need to commit. What's that? Some of you got a fear. What if I commit? And man, I remember what happened in my last marriage. If I commit to this one, whoa, man, I might get hurt again. I'm afraid to love again fully. I'm afraid. What if I get hurt? Let fear controlling you. Some of you Christians here, you've been dating the same person for 7, 8 years, 9 years, same person. And if you're both Christians and you love each other, why don't you go for it, man? Quit sitting around saying, oh, what if, what if, what if? No. Come on, you can do this. There's about 10 guys that went, just now in the room. God. Did my girlfriend tell you to preach that, Pastor? No, but her mom did. Okay, anyway. Come on, don't let fear intimidate you and control your life. As a believer, all through Scripture, we see that fear has no hold over the believer. The Bible is full of verses that tell us not to let fear control us. To fear not. Some theologians and scholars have interpreted to say there's at least 365 scriptures that have to do with dealing with fear. And if you kind of do the math, that kind of adds up to how many days are in the year. I mean, is it a sign? I don't know. Maybe it's just a great numbers. But I believe that it's something that God is wanting us to believe today, is that God does not want fear to control the life of the believer. He's wanting us to not to let fear control us. Some of you have a fear of going all in. Listen, I can tell you, just go for it. Go for it. See, fear is not the opposite of faith. Look at this. Fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the worst case scenario. See, some of you here, you thought, well, if I don't have faith, I have fear, you know. No, it's not that. It's that fear is you have faith in what if. All right, God, you're asking me to do this, but what if I don't succeed? What if I fail? What if? And we're putting more faith in the worst case scenario than we do what God wants to do. Stop putting your faith in the worst case scenario and put your faith in the one who's in control, and that's our Heavenly Father. See, God doesn't want you to live the what ifs. One of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to be old. And you're going to be coming to the end of your life, and you're going to ask that question. Say, I wish I had took a little more risk. I wish I wouldn't let the what ifs stop me from living my life the way God wants me to live it. And you say, well, I've already passed that age, Pastor, in my time. No, you're not. If you're still breathing, you still have a chance to conquer the fears and to step out. Don't let the fears control you. When I challenge you to take a 21-day challenge and pick a fast, today, that what you could do for 21 days, and to read Scripture every day, and to pray every day, and to listen to worship music. Some of you are right there with me, and you're on board. And some of the other people in this room, you say, I was so close to taking the challenge, Pastor, but I was afraid. What if I do it, and I can't do it? What if I do it, I don't follow through? What if I do it, and I give up coffee, and my caffeine makes me shake, and I just can't do that? God's telling me to give up nicotine for 21 days so I can get a jump start, but what if I can't do it? What if I go through 10 packs of gum a day? That's still not doing anything. We don't let the what ifs control you. You got to say, you know what? I'm not going to let fear control me. See, listen to this. Stop waiting for the best time to say yes. Stop waiting for the best time to say yes. That's the way we live our life. Well, when the right time comes, I'll say yes to God. When the right time comes, I'll do God's will. When the right time comes, I'll do what God wants me to do. Saying that makes about as much sense as saying, when the right time comes, when I can afford it, we'll have children. Because how many know you can never afford children? You can just can't. It's never a great time. You're never ready for it fully. You just have to go with it, and you grow with it, and you make it happen. You just kind of survive. You know, there's nothing that prepares a parent, newborn parent who's never had children before to walk in that first 6 months of having a baby. You just deal with it. You jump in and you go with it and you go with the flow. And then one day you're like, okay, God, we survived that. Thank you. But you're never ready. If you're ready, you'll wait until the right time. It'll never happen. The same thing happens in our walk. We can't let fear stop us. Don't wait for the perfect time. The perfect time is when God moves you. The perfect time is when God says, step out. See, God doesn't work on our timetable. We got to realize that God doesn't work on our timetable. We work on His. And the more we learn this, the better off we'll be. The more we can conquer fear in our life when I realize God is not on my timetable. I'm on God's timetable. See, God interrupted Moses' life to take him to the next level. He was trying to do something. See, look at this. God's interruptions in our life, they allow Him to do something greater in our life. When God interrupts us, He comes, He's not interrupting your life because He's just trying to bring a mess or bring more stress. But when God interrupts our life, He's trying to set us up for something greater. He's trying to set you and I up for something greater when He comes and He interrupts our schedule. So when you see God coming and He says, all right, I'm interrupting your schedule. I'm interrupting your life. I've got something for you. You can say, ooh, that's going to stretch me. Ooh, that's going to push me. That's okay because God is preparing you for the next season. See, if He didn't push Moses beyond where he was at, Moses would have missed his destiny. Moses couldn't fully understand everything he was getting ready to walk into. And God couldn't show him that whole picture. But God was interrupting Moses at a time in his life when he had settled in, he had a family, and he was already comfortable. But He had to push him to do something greater. See, the outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is mine. See, this is the new you. The new you realizes, all right, the outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is mine. See, we take on the outcome responsibility way too often. God, You want me to do this. God, You're asking me to step out and do this. But what if the outcome is not what I want it to be? What if the outcome doesn't work out the way I see it? What if the outcome doesn't happen and we wait until we think the outcome is going to be perfect? And then we're like, okay, I'll step out of faith. That's not faith. No, faith is obeying even when you don't understand or even know what the outcome will look like. Because you realize, God, the outcome is Your responsibility. My responsibility is simply to obey. Obey. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got to obey. That's my first responsibility. See, when we don't know the outcome, fear can control us. When we don't know it, but when we do know the outcome, fear doesn't stop us. Right? If I tell you to stand up and sit down in your chair, you're going to sit down and like, that's okay. I know the outcome. The chair is going to hold me. I'm all right. But if I tell you to stand up, close your eyes, spin around 10 times, and we're going to move all the chairs around, you don't know where the chairs are at. Now sit down. You're going to be like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. It changes when you don't understand the outcome. See, you can't let fear control you just because you don't know the outcome. How do you do that? You know the outcome is this, that God's in control. You can't let fear control you. Come here, Gabby. I want to use my friend here for an example today. Daniel, why don't you join him as well? His wife, Danielle. This is my new friends, and they've just started attending Destiny over the last few weeks. Come here. They just moved here from Mexico, and we had a meeting this week, and we were talking. And he told me the story. He says, Pastor, he goes, they went on a missions trip to Mexico, and she met Gabigol, and she got married. They moved to Mexico, been living there, married for 7 years. And it's like we had to work hard, got their degrees, now they're teaching, have good jobs, teaching there in a university. They're involved in a large church. They've become homeowners there. Life is really good. They're finally getting settled in and working really hard. And life is really good. And all of a sudden, Gabigol says, God tells me to move to the U.S., He's like, that's scary. God tells him, not her, tells him to move to the U.S. And he's like, God, I'll move to the U.S., but I'll move to Texas because Texas is where all the Mexicans go. What he told me, right? He said, we'll go to Texas, right? Okay. But he said, no. God said, no. God said, I want you to move to Missouri. Missouri. First he said, God, you say, you sure you don't mean misery or misery? He said, no, he said, Missouri. And so he makes his family, and they work over the next year to have the legal papers to move here, and now they're coming here and living here, stepping out on faith. See, this is what I love about this kind of heart, because it challenged me as I heard your story, because I realized this is what God is wanting for us. How many of us be willing to step out when God tells us to do something? Give him a hand today. I appreciate him very much stepping up, guys. Thank you. And I believe God's got something very great in store for him and his family because they are stepping out in faith. And for many of us, we don't see the end result. We don't see the end result. We just got to step out in obedience in the right time. You know, when God told him to leave, he didn't pack up his family and leave a week later. It was a year process of packing and getting things organized and going through the legal system and getting himself ready to move. And saying, but yes, he started the process saying, God, I'm ready. For many of us, it gets scary. But we got to step out. And the reason why I think it's so important that we see this next part, because Moses didn't know the outcome of him returning and going back to Pharaoh. I mean, in his mind, he's thinking, all right, if I go back to Pharaoh, he could have me arrested, thrown in jail. He could have me executed. He could bring me up before everybody else and say, all right, this man killed one of ours. Now we're gonna whip him in front of everybody. We're going to execute him in front of everybody. He didn't know the outcome. To go back and face Pharaoh, and then I'll go back and say, Pharaoh, no, am I coming back? But now I'm telling you what God's saying. And God's saying, let the people go. I mean, I would be fearful. You would be fearful. So we see but what happens here. Look in verse 20 of chapter 4. Exodus 4:20. So Moses took his wife and his sons. He put them on a donkey. He headed back to the land of Egypt. In his hand, this is very important. God said, in his hand, he carried the staff of God. I believe God puts us here for a reason for us to understand something. Why would it be important for Moses to go back carrying the staff? Because I believe along the way, as he's unsure, as he realizes, God, boy, I don't know what I'm going to face when I get back there. I don't know what Pharaoh's going to do to me. He's reminded every time he looks at the staff that God did miracles with that staff. And God says, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. You see, in our life, in order for us to step out and conquer the fear, we've got to take the same mentality. We've got to say, God, we should let the things God has already done in our life, we should let the things God has already done in your life be the staff of encouragement that God will do more. And so for every believer, how do we move past our fear when God calls us to step out? We take in our hand the staff. God, I don't understand where you're calling me. God, I don't know how it's all going to work out. But God, I know. I remember a time when I stepped out. God, I remember a time when my marriage was on the rocks and I stepped out and believed you and you brought it back together. I remember a time when I was out of job and you told me to give and you told me to serve. And I stepped out and did that. And God, you brought a new job and you took care of us. You sustained us during that time. God, I remember a time when this happened and God, you was before us. See, sometimes you just got to take your staff by your hand and say, God, I remember. As I step out in fear, God, I remember where I've come from. God, I remember what you did. God, I remember that you still are the God in control. And even though I don't know the outcome, God, I know that you're in charge. And I know you're still going before me. And God, I got a hold of that and I keep that right there in front of me as a reminder that God is still in control. Stop letting your fear control you and consume you. So what is it? What is it we're allowing fear to stop us in our life? What are you allowing fear to stop controlling your life? And how do you handle that? How do you handle that? Simply this. You don't. You do it anyway. You become obedient anyway through your fear. You do it even though you're afraid. I can tell you that many times in my life, I was afraid. I mean, if I could see the outcome, if I'd have known everything I had to go through when I took that first step, if my wife knew everything she was going to have to deal with for over 20 years when she said yes to me, she probably wouldn't have married me. But you know what? We come together, and I know this one thing that I didn't always see. I've been afraid a lot in my life. When God asked me to take a step out and to begin to say yes to serving Him, that was fearful for me. But one step, I didn't realize that one step was going to lead to something great in my life. But I didn't realize that one step was going to mean at times I'm going to have to be mistreated. I didn't realize that one step at times I was going to have to go through some difficult seasons of rejection. I didn't realize that during that time I was going to go through some difficult seasons of betrayal. I didn't know through that time I was going to have seasons when God asked me to step out even more on faith. I remember when we started Destiny Church, God told me to step out, and all I had was a little bit of 401k. He says, I want you to take that, sow it into your life, step out, start a church, and I'll take care of it. And I remember writing the first check for the first week we had at the banquet room at the Holiday Inn, Mike. I wrote that first check out of my 401k and out of my savings, and I was living off that because I felt like God told me to do that. I didn't know the outcome. I was afraid, but I did it anyway. I walked through my obedience anyway. And God, all along the way, has sustained us and brought us. I was afraid when we signed the lease on this building. This was bigger than anything we'd ever done at the time. How are we going to fill it up? That's not a problem anymore, is it? Well, how are we going to get now? The problem is, how are we going to get another place of property? How are we going to go further? How are we going to do it? And I'm not afraid. You want to know? Because I feel like David. I've conquered the lion. I've wrestled the bear. And God, you've been with me. So God, whatever giant you put in my way, I know you are before me. So I'm not afraid to dream big dreams. I'm not afraid to have a big vision. I'm not afraid to say, God, there is more in my life. And as I walk in there, am I afraid? Yes, but I put the staff out in front of me. God, all along the way, you've been in my marriage. You've been in my children. You've been in my ministry. God, you've been with my friends. God, you've been in our church. God, you've been all along. That God, even when others fall, God, you've always been there. God, even when I didn't know the answer, God, you've been there. God, you've been there. It's the staff that we hold on and we face our fear and we walk through it. See, the more you obey God, the more you obey God, in spite of your fear, the more your faith grows and the smaller your fear becomes. Wow. The more I obey God, in spite of your fear, okay? Listen, there's nothing wrong with having fear. There's nothing wrong with having fear. What's wrong is when you let the fear control you. Okay? But the more I obey God in spite of my fear, the more my faith grows and the smaller the fear begins to become in my life. See, Moses didn't know the first thing he would face after he goes there is Pharaoh having a stubborn heart. He didn't know that, all right, but finally that all happens, the plagues come, and finally Moses gives up, says, take the people and leave. They're all celebrating. Moses is like, hey, I did my job. Let's do this. Yeah. He's celebrating. They're coming. They're exiting out of Egypt, heading toward the promised land. Remember this? They're dancing. They're celebrating. They're playing their tambourines, man. They are singing songs of praise and worship. They are having a party. And they get to the Red Sea. They can't cross. And they look around, and Moses looks back and says, whoa, Moses, Moses. Pharaoh sent his army after us. They see Pharaoh's army. Pharaoh had changed his mind and said, go back and kill them all. So now they can't go forward because of the Red Sea. They can't go back because Pharaoh's army is there ready to kill them. And what God does, God do? God brings down a pillar of fire, a wall of fire between them and Pharaoh's army. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? Pillar of fire coming down, a wall of fire, stopping the enemy from attacking you. There's something about the fire of the Holy Spirit when it comes in your life. It protects you against the enemies that are coming to destroy God's plan in your life. And when you step out in obedience, I'm telling you, God always protects and makes a way. And what's he do? He takes it. Well, this is what God told me to do. God told me to take my staff and he stretches it out. He stretches it out. What happens? God takes and parts the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground. You see, Moses had no idea that he was going to face that experience when he left. He had no idea. If he'd have known that, God, there ain't no way I'm putting myself in that position. There's no way, God, I could, there's no way I can part the sea. There's no way you can send pillar of fire. There's no way we can escape the army. God, there's no way. But see, God knew that if he would just step out on faith, that his faith was building all along. His faith was building through the plagues. His faith was building through going back and facing Pharaoh time and time again. There's a reason why Moses didn't get a yes the first time from Pharaoh. I believe because God wanted Moses to continue to go back and face his biggest fear. And the more he faced his biggest fear, the more it prepared him to lead a million people out of Egypt and to the promised land. But we can't get that. We can't see the full picture. We just got to become obedient now. See, look at this last statement, and we're going to close. Extraordinary acts of God follow ordinary acts of obedience. Extraordinary acts of God follow ordinary acts of obedience. Some of you here today, you need God to do something extraordinary in your life. Some of you got that kind of vision for your life. And it happens through us doing ordinary acts of obedience. That's how we get there. Pastor, how'd you get to be a pastor? How'd you get to do that? I said yes. I took the first step. I didn't know what that looked like 25 years ago. I had no idea. I just told God I'd give him one semester. That's why I told God. I'll give you one semester. I'll say yes to you one semester. I won't be a pastor. I'll work with the youth, but I'll never be a pastor. That's the words I said. Yes to that. You see, every act of obedience led to something else that God had for me that I couldn't see or even imagine. So what's stopping you today? What's your biggest fear that you're allowing to control your life? What's your biggest fear? See, the new you is saying this, God, I'm not going to allow fear to control me. The new you is saying, I'm not going to allow fear to keep me from doing what God wants me to be. The old you did. The old you said, all right, when I can control the situation, when the timing's right, when I see the outcome, I'll take a step of faith. No. But the new you is changing from the inside out. You're learning to trust God even when you don't see the full picture. And you step out and say, all right, I'm going to take this first step of obedience. What's stopping you today? I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. How many today, I'm not even going to ask you to bow your head. Tell me, just be honest, Pastor, you're preaching right at me today. Anybody here want to admit that? Yeah, lots of hands. I still think there was more in the first service to raise your hands. Don't tell them I said that, okay? How many of you today say, Pastor, come on, be honest. Say, you're preaching right at me. I've allowed fear to stop me from doing. I know what God wants me to do. Yeah. Hey, I've been there. I can tell you, I've been there. I understand where you're at. Today, what we're saying is, God, no longer are we going to let fear control us. But God, we're going to step out and begin to do some things that we feel you're calling me to do. We're going to do some things you're calling my family to do. We're going to take some steps of faith. Be obedient. It's the small things that God's asked me to do. We're going to do it. We're going to close with this simple song. It's a new song. We've never done it here before, but it's a song maybe you've heard on the radio. It says, no longer a slave to fear. This is what we're saying today, God. I want you to make it your personal prayer. God, no longer are we slaves to fear, but we have been set free by the grace of God. See, don't let anything control. You've been set free from God's grace, set free from your past. You've been set free from the sin that so easily snares and traps you and keeps you back thinking you can't. And God says, yes, I want you to step out. Listen, don't be a slave to your fear. Say, yes, God, I'm stepping out. I'm no longer a slave.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song. Now deliverance from my enemies until all my fears have gone.
I invite you to lift your hands today. I want to pray for you. Father, today I pray over every believer in this room today that God, no longer will we allow our fears to be slaves to us, God, that we are fear to control us. But God, I pray right now in the heart of every believer, I pray that God, you are releasing spirits of fear controlling our life. Right now I speak that God, you are casting aside the control of fear in their life. And God, you're going to allow people to begin to say yes. Yes to the first step. Yes to what you're asking them to do. And God, they'll step out beyond their fear. Beyond their fear, God, trusting you. That God, you would let them step out and say yes. And God, today I believe the new us, there's a new you that's happening. And I speak over you right now. And that new you is not allowing fear to control your life. In the name of Jesus, we pray and say amen. Come on, you got a hand clap if you receive that today. Listen, we're so glad that you were here today. God bless you. Thank you for being with us here at Destiny. Get plugged into a life group tonight. God bless you. You guys have a great, great week.